And now for something completely different.
Well, we are trying to be completely different here at the David Spoon Experience. Although David's not here today, I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefield, sitting in for you. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. You can find the ministry of whitefields.org, our ministry there on our website. If you're interested to give a call and ask any questions about some of the things we've been talking about with Whitefields, you can call 760-846-8610. But I've been here with James Fazio, and he is still here. He's been answering some questions about theology and about the seminary located right out in El Cajon. It's not far from downtown San Diego, about 20 minutes from there. Wanted to give you just a little bit of contact information. If some of the things that he has been saying about the classes that they have, the opportunities, and you want more information, you can go to socalsem.edu. That's socalsem@edu.edu. Or you can call 888-389-7244. It's great to have a seminary located close by and related to us right here in San Diego. It's available. I thought it was great what you shared about for the opportunity for pastors in a church, in any church, to be able to come in and get free tuition, to be able to get a degree, study the Bible, and for people in the church. I'm curious. I have a question for you. You've traveled a bit. We've traveled together. I've been with you in some of the Q&A sessions, but what is the most shocking question or the most just strange thing somebody has ever believed about the Bible and has either asked you about? It could be here in San Diego or in Uganda, but just it kind of sets you back and you go, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. That reminds me, oftentimes I will when talking about how different the needs are in different places of the world and being able to address those needs effectively, you need to understand where those people are coming from, their right worldview, and how they're viewing scripture. And I oftentimes tell this story about a session which I had spent with a group of pastors, probably about 3 or 4 hours, you know, those sessions where you just spend hours and you're going through the book of Ephesians, or you're trying to establish some really good doctrinal foundational truths, you know, eternal security or something of that sort. And I remember going through this session and just probably went through about 2 chapters of Ephesians, and then I opened it up for questions, and I was you know, prepared to have some good doctrinal discussion. And one of the guys raised his hand and stood up and laid his question on me, and it just floored me.
Right.
And his question was, if you're in the church and you have 3 wives, and, you know, just right there, I said, wow.
Oh, no, okay.
I wasn't expecting this, you know, coming out of Ephesians. And, you know, and then, of course, question had to do, how do you handle with, you know, how do you manage these multiple wives and the husband of one wife and so on and so forth. And then just, you know, entering into the culture and realizing the types of problems that they have in other parts of the world and how they apply doctrine in their church.
I know one of the things, people may not know this, but in Uganda, polygamy is legal for 4 wives. Not just Muslims would practice that. But then you also have the issue of the dowry, where a man has to pay the father of the woman certain number of cows. And they do negotiate that in cows. That's the way it is negotiated. And I know that has been a big part of what the church is dealing with, having people that end up kind of running away. They called it eloping, but they're not really married because they're not legally identified. And now they become believers, and they're trying to be involved in the church. They're trying to get involved in ministry, but they've not been legally married. Their family of the wife is feeling jilted because we didn't receive our dowry. Churches are now addressing that issue. How do we go back and negotiate with a father, get a number of cows? And it is really difficult in a poor community.
Yeah, absolutely. That creates a whole new stumbling block.
You know,
a young man and woman, and excuse me, and they want to get married.
Yeah.
And now they have the problem of that they just can't afford it. It's they could possibly never attain that kind
of. Well, you realize that when you start going down that road of some people are not clear what's going to happen in American tradition when marriage becomes this legalized. The Supreme Court said, hey, everybody's laws are thrown out. We're saying men and men can get married, women and women can get married. What's going to process down the road for churches when a church that is an evangelical biblical church not supporting marriage between man and man is got someone that comes to their church that has now become a believer?
Yeah.
This is a pastor threw this to me. He said it hasn't happened yet, but he says it's not just about someone coming and trying to attack us. What happens when they come and they say, here we are, we're married, we're same-sex deal, and we've got children now because we're allowed to go out and adopt, and now we've become believers. How do you – and that's what you have to deal with in Uganda with these multiple wives or not being married, and they've been going through.
That's pretty good. I like how you've looped that. You bring it all the way back to applied theology once
right.
more.
Yes.
I mean, this is one of those examples where you – the Bible doesn't need to specifically address the question. It gives you the truths. It
right.
gives you the timeless principles. It gives you God's mind on every subject that man yes. will encounter in the world, even if it doesn't specifically spell out how to deal with the issue of, you know, transgender bathrooms.
Right.
It speaks to us today, and it's just one more perfect example of why theology is relevant for Christians today.
Right, and that's why studying doctrine, studying theology, studying the Bible to understand that you don't just go in and say, okay, I'm going to look for transgender bathrooms in the Bible, and I can't find any references, so the Bible doesn't address it. You're right. You have to look at that and say, what does the Bible teach about these? And then you have to compare other places. It's very interesting. Some people might just pick a verse right out of the Bible. I know this is from hermeneutics, context, context, context. What's the craziest verse that somebody's ever pulled out and just said, hey, this is what the Bible means? And then you say, wow, look at the context around it. But people do that, don't they? They pull things out of the Old Testament. Here's a promise to David. Or something that David said in a psalm, so I'm going to pray that about this coworker of mine. And you're like,
You know, and I'd have to say the prosperity gospel has probably brought out some of the most far out examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have it right here. You don't have to go overseas to find that.
Right.
It's coming out of churches right here in America.
Coming along and these ideas that if you will just, you can own all this, you can have all this, it kind of puts a wrong purpose on. I know Christians in other countries that are wonderful, happy, joyful Christians. They possess nothing but the stick and mud hut that they live in. They have only one bucket that they bathe in, and they're wonderful Christians. They don't need to have the wealth to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So applied theology and the practice of that is something that's happening at the seminary on a regular basis. I wanted to give that number again. It's 888-389-7244. Let me just leave it with you. What's something that you would encourage a student or a person looking to come to the seminary? And they say, well, I'm not sure I can do it, but I'm kind of interested. What would you say to them to compel them? This is an important thing to do.
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the things obstacles, education costs money,
mm-hmm.
and people are always conflicted about, should I pursue this degree? Is it going to advance my career? Those kinds
right.
of questions. The fact is, education in the Word of God, in
right.
Bible and theology, is the kind of thing that if you never did anything with it professionally,
right.
it will serve you immeasurably for the rest of your life, no matter what field you are in. Now, obviously,
sure.
there are also some great other opportunities that
right.
could open up from having that kind of a degree, but it would never at any time be a waste of time, education,
that's,
money, anything.
That's a good thing to remember because often we look at education as saying, how's it going to advance my career? But really a study of the Bible is going to advance your life. It's going to open up the knowledge of God's Word and put it into practice and help you know how to live and how to put that into practice. One other thing, there are great people at the seminary, aren't there? Not just the professors, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we really have a, you know, the Southern California Seminary is 70 years old as
okay.
of this year. And
all right.
so that's really neat. We just had our, our 70th anniversary. We received a wonderful gift on that time, on that occasion when we were celebrating. We received a centuries old Torah scroll.
Whoa,
and I mean, this dates back to Europe during the Nazi occupation. It was just a really neat gift for us to have in our possession. We're working that into our curriculum so that our students can actually handle that, look at it.
It's
just a neat thing.
Oh, that's great. And there's a lot of interaction between other students as well, right?
Well, one of the neatest things about education in that kind of an environment is not just the professors, but the students. You are sitting shoulder to shoulder with other pastors across the county.
Sure.
You are, it's just
so you
a rich
share
experience.
About stuff going on in your church. You share about people you're praying with. You end up praying together. You get answers. You get people that are walking with you through the trenches. I like to call
it. I can't tell you how many relationships I have from when I was a student. People who are now translating the Bible overseas. I've got one in Tanzania. I've got pastors throughout the county, people who are overseas serving in various areas. I mean, it's just a lifetime relationships that you make.
Oh, those are phenomenal. Well, I want to give you once again, SoCalSem, SoCalSem.edu, or call them at 888-389-7244. God does some great things. I met James right here in the K-Praise studio offices for the first time. That was going back a couple of years now. And we met Onesimus, Pastor Onesimus. He's graduated from the seminary now. He's got a great ministry going in Uganda, and we're thrilled to be in support and partnership with that. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego. We've had a great time with James Fazio, Dean of Bible and Theology. When we come back, we're going to get into it's either going to be complacent or zealous, or what are your eyes seeing? I haven't decided yet. So don't go anywhere. You got to come back to hear what we're going to talk about next.
More local, national, and heavenly talk coming up on the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, "Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel and get her done." Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
This is Albert Moeller for townhall.com. Eventually, every big moral question gets shifted down to the level of children and teenagers. That's reflected in a recent NPR story with this interesting headline: "To prevent sexual assault, schools and parents start lessons early." This could just be something of a no-brainer, warning children against the possibility of sexual abuse. In reality, it's an attempt to indoctrinate young people that sexual morality is nothing more than consent, and this kind of sex ed may be coming to a school near you. The current Democratic vice presidential nominee, Senator Tim Kaine, is quoted in the article as saying, "I would like it to move over more into 'you have to do it,'" end quote. Now, why would that be? Because every single successive generation of revolutionaries has understood that the sex ed curriculum mandated for the public schools is the major way that a sexual morality is conveyed with government authority right into the hearts and minds of young people. I'm Albert Moeller.
Learn more at townhallreview.com.
This segment brought to you by our good friend Sam Rasul. Sam Rasul, one of the top agents in the United States of America in regards to real estate. Here's something you might not know. If you're selling your house and you're thinking, "I need to put some money into my house, but I can't afford it," fantastic that you've heard about Sam Rasul. You go to thinksam.com or call him at 858-780-1SAM. You talk to Sam. If you list your house with Sam, he will forward up to $25,000 for you to fix up the house. And then at the close of escrow, when you sell it, he takes that money back but doesn't charge any interest. Also, if you buy or sell a house through Sam, he takes 25% of that commission and he gives it to whatever church, charity, or ministry you desire. On top of that, if you get in touch with Sam and you're thinking, I'd love to hear the story of how a Muslim becomes a Christian, then you also want to talk to Sam because that's one of the things he's well known for in San Diego, sharing his testimony, how he got from point A to point B, a fantastic story. ThinkSam.com. That's his website, ThinkSam.com. 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM.
Mark Larson and Tony Ramirez of Singing Hills Memorial Park.
You know, Tony, our listeners know that years ago, my wife and I made our plans at Singing Hills Memorial Park. It's something people don't want to deal with, you know, end of life. But it's great to get it just kind of out of the way, have the plan set so loved ones don't have to worry about it. Of course, Lord willing, we're planning on being around for a long time. But when you have the plans made, it does give you peace of mind, and that has intrinsic value. And there's more value now. You go out and visit Singing Hills. You have some new additions and some special opportunities.
That's right, Mark. If you mention this ad, anything in the cemetery by way of traditional burial, cremation burial, anything, if you mention this ad, we will go ahead and offer you a special finance.
That's right, and that is a special opportunity now for a limited time. So call Tony. Talk to his team at Singing Hills Memorial Park, 619-444-3000.
Singing Hills Memorial Park.
619-444-3000.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You can find our ministry at whitefields.org. We're supporting national church planners and networking and coordinating. Just had our good friend James Fazio in the studio talking with Southern California Seminary. One of their graduates, Pastor Onesimus, is our field director in Uganda. We've had a wonderful time of ministry with him, and it's exciting to be partners in that. And some of our prayers are with them, and our prayers are in Asia and Japan and the Middle East. We've got things going on all over. In fact, I just wanted to share, you hear a lot of news about the Middle East. A lot of it is about the wars and the serious problems with refugees. Wanted to just give you some encouraging news. One of our pastors, Pastor Ahmed, is serving in the Middle East, planting a church. This is his second year. We've been supporting him financially and his family. And he shared with us, he had the opportunity to host a team of 25 American college students who came to learn about evangelism in their cultural context. They gave them some basic training, took them on home visits. It was a very exciting time for them. And the first time for many of them to ever share their faith with a Muslim. And altogether, they visited about 30 homes. They were able to give out food packages to the needy, a demonstration of compassion. And so that's the kind of networking and coordinating that happens when they come together. It's not always easy when someone comes to faith in a country that where Christians are persecuted. Pastor Ahmed shares as well, about 18 months ago, Yahya became a believer. When he came to Christ, his wife and extended family members were very angry. He was kicked out of his house. He suffered greatly. But he has been sharing his faith. Is that what happens when a person, even in a country where they're being persecuted to be a Christian, when they come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's solid. It's ground level work. And they get out there and they start sharing their faith with coworkers at an airport. That's what he was doing. And he spends his time contrasting the claims of Christianity with the claims of Islam and encouraging his friends to investigate for themselves. Well, here's what really intrigued me about his report. Recently, he shared with a man at the airport snack shop, and to his big surprise, The man was another new believer that Pastor Ahmed is also discipling. And these two guys met one another in their place of work and business and discovered that both of them have become believers and they are getting involved. Now there's encouragement for them to be able to attend the church together and get involved with that. It's just great. That's a part of what Whitefields is involved in. You can check that out at our website at whitefields.org. Well, I decided to go with "What are your eyes seeing?" It's a "Open my eyes," Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Very interesting. During the break, Al Mohler was talking about sex education and how that sex education program, mandatory in public schools, is aimed right at the hearts and minds of young people. Well, parents, I'm wondering if you are giving your children the full dose of opening the Bible with them so that they may behold wondrous things out of God's law. Psalm 119, the entire chapter, that entire psalm, is dedicated to the wonders and amazement of God's word. And it is in God's word that we learn how God wants us to live, how our lives should be focused and portrayed around his, as James said in the last session, applied theology. When you read the Bible and you study the theology of it, you learn how God really wants you to live. And it would make, this would make a great opening prayer every day with your children to pray, "Lord, open my eyes today to let me see from your word something of truth that you want me to put into practice or apply today." You see, I personally, for me, I need to be constantly reminded that only as God gives me insight will I really know truth and know how to apply his word in my life. That is, for me, something I have to remind myself every single day. Every time I sit down with my Bible and my books in front of me, I have to say, "Now, Lord, help me know and understand your word and know how you want me to apply this into my life. Is there something that I'm doing, is there something that I'm saying, is there a way that I'm acting that isn't right and isn't the way that you really want me to live?" Because you see, when we seek truth on our own, like apart from the Bible, when you try to seek your own knowledge and your own, okay, well, this is the way I think we should do things, and we don't focus our attention on the Word of God to say, okay, now how does God's Word want me to live in this? And what decision should I be making according to God's Word? Then we will inevitably deceive ourselves and become convinced that something totally false, well, maybe it fits my lifestyle, so it's truth to me. Or maybe we end up coming up with something that sin is okay. Because, hey, after all, aren't we just supposed to love everyone? And well, now that I've been loving this particular sinner or this kind of sin, I've actually kind of found that I've adopted it into my own lifestyle. Or sometimes we'll use the phrase that, well, we're not supposed to judge outsiders or we're not supposed to judge other people. And then the sinful activity that those people are doing actually ends up becoming adopted into our own philosophy. That's, I think, what Al Mohler was talking about with the sex education of the hearts and minds of young people. You see, parents, if we're not focused on trying to turn them away from those false things, they're going to become convinced of them. Well, this is just normal. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is how we're supposed to act or what we're supposed to be. And they will lose the strategic understanding of how God really wants us to live. Now the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11, he concludes that section when he, in verse 11, he says, "So that," in other words, the verses 5 to verses 10 describe the events that they should be doing in reaffirming a love for a brother that had fallen into sin. And he says it so that we would not be outwitted by Satan. Oh, my friends, we live in a wonderful country of America, and I am fearful that we are being outwitted by Satan on so many levels. We need to step up and say, hey, wait a second. I don't, and Paul concludes that verse, for we are not ignorant of his designs. You know what we really need to focus on? We need to say, how and what is Satan using to pull our minds away from what is really right and true? What is Satan really doing that causes us to become just, well, fooled? It's a matter of discernment. And Paul presents this strategy to the Corinthians to properly deal with a sinning brother so that we would not be outwitted by Satan. We must be aware of Satan's tactics so that we can be resistant to his destructive plans. Peter said it this way. He said, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." That's pretty strong language. We need to recognize that Satan and his beings, the demons that work in his behalf, and then those humans who have given themselves into presenting and promoting Satan's system and Satan's thinking process, we need to recognize that they are seeking someone to devour. Yeah, there are people that are evil, that want to take our children, want to take the minds of the young people that would be growing up in church around loving and affirming people, and they want to instead take them and twist their thoughts and twist their minds so that they no longer can affirm and believe biblical truth. And then Peter goes on to say this: resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Oh, my friends, I just returned from Africa and Uganda, and the evil spirits and the demonic things that are going on there are so right up in front of us. But you know what? They are just as in front of us and in our face here in America. They're just kind of Americanized. They're just sort of given a new language and a new way to be shared. And so I encourage you today, recognize who our enemy is and look up and see out there, what do we need to do to resist those things? I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. When we come back, I'm going to continue this thought with asking the question, are you complacent or zealous? Ain't no river wide
enough, baby. It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
This is Albert Moeller for townhall.com. Eventually, every big moral question gets shifted down to the level of children and teenagers. That's reflected in a recent NPR story with this interesting headline: to prevent sexual assault, schools and parents start lessons early. This could just be something of a no-brainer, warning children against the possibility of sexual abuse. In reality, it's an attempt to indoctrinate young people that sexual morality is nothing more than consent, and this kind of sex ed may be coming to a school near you. The current Democratic vice presidential nominee, Senator Tim Kaine, is quoted in the article as saying, "I would like it to move over more into you have to do it," end quote. Now, why would that be? Because every single successive generation of revolutionaries has understood that the sex ed curriculum mandated for the public schools is the major way that a sexual morality is conveyed with government authority right into the hearts and minds of young people. I'm Albert Moeller.
Learn more at townhallreview.com.
This segment brought to you by Subaru El Cajon and Mazda El Cajon and our fantastic friend Chris George, who's the general manager of both dealerships. Now, you might be thinking, well, you mean there's two dealerships that I can go to but deal with one person? Yes. Are you telling me that they have fantastic service? Yes. Are you telling me that I'll be doing business with a Christian who might even pray with me before I even do my deal? Yes. And I'm telling you that that service department has helped me, oh my goodness, tons. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. If you want to buy a car, if you want to get service on your car, if you want to have the opportunity to talk to somebody who understands the car business, you either go to Subaru El Cajon or Mazda-ElCajon.com, or go to Google, type in Subaru El Cajon and see what Google pulls up. Guess what? It'll be there. SubaruElCajon.com, not complex. Both dealerships are at 900 Arnell Avenue. Both dealerships can be reached at 800-418-4444, and both dealerships will help you find the car you want, give service to the car you want, and let you have the experience you want to have in buying and or even selling them your car. Here's the deal. You're doing business with brothers and sisters in the Lord. That is a great element in the car realm. Subaru El Cajon and Mazda El Cajon. Go there. Tell me you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. Say hi to Chris George and be pleased with your car buying experience.
Life Christian Church presents an evening with Dr. Mark T. Barclay, prophet and apostle to thousands of pastors and ministers worldwide. A prolific author and nationally acclaimed television host, Dr. Barclay is an anointed teacher and a timely voice of stability and righteousness. He has been sought after by some of the highest level executives, politicians, and national power players for his divine leadership and counsel. Dr. Barclay has his finger on the pulse of what is happening in the church universally and what is happening and going to happen in these times of unrest. This special event will take place on Wednesday and Thursday, September 7th and 8th at 7 p.m. at Life Christian Church. For more information, visit lifechristianchurch.com or call 760-439-3300. Visit lifechristianchurch.com or call 760-439-3300 for more information on this powerful event.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. I want to thank David very much for taking an extra day off on his Labor Day weekend, getting 5 days off and allowing me the privilege to sit in his chair here. I've appreciated Paul producing today as well. He's keeping us on track and glad that you're here. I don't know if you're in the traffic. I was just looking out the window and saw that there is definitely traffic out there. It was a completely brand new traffic pattern around my house this morning. Cal State University is back in session, I guess. The line going out of cars was way down the road, and you just kind of have to find your way in and out of all that. But if you're listening in the car, enjoy your drive. Sit back. We're going to have a little bit of time. I was just talking with Paulie as well. We were sharing about toddlers and the whole thing and the various memes and videos that we've seen of moms that discovered how silence being golden is not so golden when you've got a toddler around the house. And he was telling me one he saw of a mom that got up and realized, oh no, it's been way too quiet for my toddlers, and walked out, and there the baby sitting on the coffee table in diaper, and a little toddler brother or sister had covered baby completely head to toe with peanut butter.
It's pretty funny. If you just Google baby covered in peanut butter, it's the first thing that
baby covered in
the minute of your day.
There you go. Baby covered in peanut butter. If you're not driving, Google that. If you are driving, please keep your hands on the steering wheel, and we'll let you see the ending of that. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, silence is not golden when you have toddlers. It is suspicious. Well, we were talking in the last segment about opening our eyes, having our eyes open to what God has for us. And I wanted to conclude that and then launch into complacent or zealous, because we know that Satan is an accuser. Satan is also a deceiver. He is here and he is working, and he has tactics in order to disturb us and to lead us away from that which is truth. And Psalm 119:18 that we opened that segment with said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And then the verse 37 is a contrast that I connected. It's in Psalm 119 verse 37. It says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. You see, the goal of the Christian is to find out what the ways of God are, how to move ourselves to living a life of holiness. Once we have believed in Jesus Christ and we have placed our faith in him, and God has justified us, has regenerated, he's given us new birth, then we begin the process of growing And we call that sanctification. So salvation is a point in time at which faith is exercised and God moves into our life. He indwells us with the Holy Spirit. He regenerates us, gives us a new life. We once were dead in our trespasses and sin, and then he makes us alive. And then we move into a process called sanctification. It's a walk. It's a daily walk, and each day we have to step into that life and say, Lord, today, how do you want me to live? And what's really important in that is that sometimes we can find ourselves growing numb or growing, as one of the letters in Revelation shared, your faith, you've grown lukewarm. And I have a question for us, and it's something that I'm asking myself as well. Am I complacent or zealous? I'm looking at things going on in American religion, American church. Friend of mine, Mark, Dr. Mark Newman, he's a speaker for life. You can find him at thespeakerforlife.com. Mark said something the other day. He posted on his Facebook. He said, hey, I know that things are, we've got a lot of people that are saying things that are getting worse in America. But the question is, what are we doing in the meantime? And you can look at Speaker for Life and find out that he and others like Live Action and Lila Rose, people there, the programs that they've got going on at the schools and a university, Scott and some others working with Mark are resisting the normal thinking that has fallen into the minds of the media that killing babies, dismembering them is just something that's okay. You know, the California State Legislature, their Senate, just passed a bill making it illegal. Now, it hasn't gone through the whole process yet, but our state government of California is trying to pass a bill that would make it illegal for investigative reporters to go record what abortionists are doing. You know the videos that came out showing how Planned Parenthood was selling baby parts? Yeah, that's what they were doing. It's very clear from the videos that were demonstrated that they were selling baby parts. They were negotiating how to abort the babies and get them in whole parts so they could give whole brains or whole baby parts. And we're not talking little, just tiny, amorphous, little cells we're talking babies that look like babies that are formed physically into human beings with hands and feet. And they were selling those, and they were negotiating prices or sharing how they could do abortions in order to get the parts. And our state legislator, they want to make that illegal for investigative reporters. If you remember, the First Amendment of the Constitution was a freedom of the press. That would be for the press to be able to go out and find out what people are doing that are illegal. But our state legislature wants to make that illegal. Or take another issue. Maybe it's not abortion. Maybe it's the issue of sexual immorality. We've been hearing Al Mohler today share how strategy has been to get placed into the sex education of our public schools. The idea that having sex is just normal. I see as well advertisements that pop up onto the Hulu or on Netflix or on something like that. And they'll just be advertisements sharing about places or people or things that cause young people to say, well, okay, this is just normal. This is just what people should go do. And what happens is I think we become complacent in our Christianity. Now, complacent is an adjective, so it's really an adjective describing we become complacent in seeking holiness. We become complacent in our Christian walk. And complacent means satisfied with oneself in a smug or uncritical way. Oh, my friends, I tell you, that's something I never want to become in my Christian life. I have prayed often over the years, Lord, number one, never let me preach something that I haven't myself already struggled through. I was talking to some young pastors the other day, and they were asking me, what's the hardest thing to preach? I said, well, everything I preach is the hardest thing to preach, because before I preach it, I have to ask the Lord, have I applied this in my own life? Am I having victory over this? Is this something that I've really put into place and applied it in my own life? And so when we become complacent, we become smug, we end up just resting on our own laurels. And the opposite would be, are we zealous? Are we zealously seeking holiness in our churches? You know, it's quite interesting. If you go back and look in the Old Testament, there's some examples of people that were zealous in their faith. One of those, Numbers 25, verses 5 through 8, you'll find that there was sexual immorality going on. Often sexual immorality in the Old Testament was related to idolatry. Idolatry and sexual immorality would all kind of happen at the same time. In fact, at Exodus 32, verse 6, right when God was giving the law, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, remember the people of Israel got really bored, and so they went out and made a golden calf, and then they started to offer sacrifices and brought offerings in. And it says the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Well, that play there was sexual immorality. You take a look, though, at Numbers 25, and you find out that Phinehas was zealous against this sexual immorality. You also find Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 25 to 26, how zealous he was about how the people were conforming to sexual immorality. And you say, well, Steve, those are both Old Testament things. Well, when we come back, I'm going to show you how there's a verse in the New Testament that fits with that as well. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego. Ain't no river
wide enough, baby. Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.
As the school year is starting and everyone is getting back from vacation, maybe you're saying to yourself, this year I want to really lock into a great midweek Bible study. This is your chance. On Wednesday, September 7th, Pastor Brian Newberry of Calvary Chapel San Diego starts a new series titled Through the Bible. This in-depth study covers the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. If you're looking to gain a deeper knowledge of God's Word, then come fellowship with Calvary Chapel San Diego Wednesday night starting September 7th. Plus, for the month of September, you'll enjoy special music by Chris Lozat, the Justin Fox Band, the Steve Ante Band, and the Gutierrez Brothers. For more information and directions, go to calvarysd.com. That's calvarysd.com. Or call us at 619-421-1100. 619-421-1100.
All right, folks, this segment is brought to you by Excalibur Roofing and our very, very good friends, Eric and Ingrid Holloway at Excalibur Roofing. Now, you know they have over 20 years of experience. They're active members in the BBB. They're licensed and bonded in different roofing classifications. They got testimonials from people like you, but it doesn't matter because the most important part for you to remember is Excalibur Roofing is the official roofing company for unauthorized skylights in your homes in San Diego. You might be wondering, what is an unauthorized skylight? That's a skylight that's in your roof that you didn't put there. Or in other words, a hole in your roof. That is what Excalibur Roofing can help you with immediately. If you call 760-743-8803, that's 760-743-8803. Or if you go to their website at excaliberroofing.com, or if you go to Google and type in Excalibur Roofing, or if you go to Facebook and type in Excalibur Roofing, you will find out that the people to deal with for your roof are people that think when they do a roofing job, they're doing their work as unto the Lord. Excalibur Roofing is the best there is. You will absolutely be blessed in your interaction with them. Excalibur Roofing, give them a call and tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some urgent news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from PBS host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms.
Grab a pen right now, because we're about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-422-3838 now to get your personalized copy rushed to you today. Do you want to avoid mistakes baby boomers and seniors can make when they buy annuities? Those mistakes now could be costly later to you and your family. Call 800-422-3838. That's 800-422-3838. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
The Hometown Advantage. It's up and down Main Street. It's also in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. That's because most folks who work here love living here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed, and that makes a difference. At HelpWantedSanDiego.com, we're proud to work our hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Post your job today on HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work. The Hometown Advantage. You see it in the shops and offices downtown, in our factories, schools, and farms. Jeff the accountant has it. So do Corey in IT and Amber, the vet tech. They found local jobs at HelpWantedSanDiego.com. It's where local employers find local workers like you, people who care about this community. Search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I can't believe how fast our time is going here this afternoon. I don't know if time is spinning by faster for you out there. I hope you've been enjoying our time. Together, you are joining us at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. I hope you will check out our ministry at whitefields.org. See how you can plug in and be a part of supporting national church planters. I was talking in that last segment about the flaunting of immorality and the complacency or the zealousness with which we walk in our Christian life, especially in a society that is becoming or degrading in its known principles. And we're moving away from the Judeo-Christian values that America once held. And as that happens, how are we engaging? Are we getting involved zealously to defend the truth of the Bible? Or are we becoming complacent in our walk? I shared with you a couple of examples of some very zealous people. I'm not suggesting that you go out and do what they do, because those were Old Testament things, but Phinehas in Numbers 25 and Nehemiah demonstrated the zealousness with which they hated the wickedness around them. And I said I'd share with you a New Testament passage that relates. We often hear people say, you should be like Jesus, right? We want to be like Jesus. Well, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, I wanted to give to you this. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. That's Hebrews 1, 8 and 9. Jesus Christ hated wickedness, and we should learn from that how it relates to us, how we aggressively and zealously hate wickedness while loving people and trying to draw them to the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the progression, if we don't do that, if we don't get a balance in that reality, is that sin becomes less offensive. And if sin is less offensive, then heaven is less appealing, and hell is less horrible, and the sinner is less desperate, and the gospel is less compelling. Repentance and turning to God is no longer necessary. I just need a little alteration in my course. That's all I need to be comfortable and satisfied, and I'm okay. That's what complacency will do. That's what becoming complacent will do in our lives. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. That's Psalm 119, verse 53. Well, things have been going along really quickly. A lot of things happened on this day back in the years. I'll leave you with this one. 1916, did you know that that was the first true supermarket, the Piggly Wiggly? I'll let you Google that, and you'll find out they're still around. Well, this is Steve Wheeler. I'm the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Hang out for about 22 hours, and David Spoon will be back tomorrow. I hope you'll all tune in to listen to him. It's been great being with you. Check out whitefields.org. Hope to hear from you. Have a good afternoon.